Welcome to the Dominion Embassy Broadcast. Lord, I love to sing your praise. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Exodus chapter 16 and then verse 2. Exodus 16 verse 2. We want today to finish what we have been speaking on the wilderness, and my subject today is mastering the wilderness. Mastering, M-A-S-T-E-R-I-N-G, mastering the wilderness. We will take two texts from Exodus 16 and then 1 Corinthians 10. Now, verse 2 of Exodus 16. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured, please underline murmured, against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, woe to God, we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought up, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. Such very bitter words. Look at verse 7. And in the morning, then you shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings. That God hears your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we, there's Moses and Aaron speaking, and what are we that ye murmured against us? Verse 8, let's continue. And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmured against him. Please note murmurings as we go along. The Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Verse 9. Moses spake unto Aaron, saying, say unto the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your murmurings. Verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at evening you shall eat flesh, in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and then verse 1 following. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, and please underline ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all eat drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Verse 5. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples. Now I want you to underline examples. These things were an example to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and to and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, underline murmur again, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, underline example again. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh that he standeth, take heed lest he fall. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will also with the temptation provide a way of escape, make a way of escape that ye will be able to bear it. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. So we are finishing our series on the wilderness, and we want to look at mastering the wilderness. What we are really doing is to look at the five temptations of the wilderness, which is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, from verse 6, lasting after evil things, you've spoken about it, idolatry, committing fornication. Verse 9, now tempting Christ was our subject last week. Today we want to finish up with the fifth temptation of the wilderness, murmuring. All right? Now, I made you to understand some words, and I want to comment on them. The first word I want to comment on is example. The Bible says that the things that happened to Israel happened unto them for our examples. Verse 6, these things were our examples. And then verse 11, now all these things happened unto them for example. What is an example? An example is a small expression of a big thing. An example is a small expression, is like a prototype of something. It's like the first type or the replica of something. So if somebody gives an example, it means that there is a big thing there. And what you have is just an example of the big thing which is already existing somewhere. Or like somebody comes to you and wants to sell something to you and says that, well, these things I have brought are only samples. What it means is that they are a replica or a prototype of something which is already in stock. So if you say that, well, I like this one, then they go back to their warehouse or their store and bring you the same thing. Now, that is what example is. It's a small expression of a big thing. Now, when you have an example, it means that the huge part or the bigger part of the thing is existing. So in our context, the bigger part of the five wilderness temptation, the Bible makes us to know, will confront us. What happened to Israel were just samples. But the warehouse of the devil is stocked with these things. So the devil is going to confront us with these things in our age presently. As you are listening to me, he has got an abundant supply of these five temptations. He only released the sample in the wilderness for the people of Israel. But the greater part is yet to be unleashed upon us. That is why what we are treating becomes very important. But the Bible makes us to know, the good aspect of it is that the Bible makes us to understand 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and the last verse, verse 13 that we read, that when we talk about the five temptations in the light of the Bible, it is a way of escape being made for us. The word of God, the Bible says, is like a hammer. And whenever the devil besieges us, or uses temptation to wall us in, to hem us in, what the word of God does is that it makes a way of escape. The word of God breaks down the temptation so that our souls can escape as a bird out of the trap of the fowler. Hallelujah. So it is important that we understand these things. That is why the Paul said that I do not want you to be ignorant. Because if you are ignorant of these temptations which the devil has them in stock for us, upon whom the ends of the world are come, what is going to happen is that you will not get a way of escape. But when you have a revelation of it, not ignorance, but an understanding, a spiritual understanding, that is a revelation of it, then you are able to escape out of the temptation. Now, let's go to our subject, murmuring. Murmuring usually occurs when we hit a setback or when we hit a dead end, we are digging and we hit a rock, you are moving and you hit a blank wall. That is where memory usually occurs. It occurs when we hit a setback in our progression to our promises, in our progression to the promised land, to the rule of God, to the kingdom system. We can hit a wall, we can hit a setback, and memory occurs when such a circumstance happens. We hit a setback. What God has promised to us in our social lives, in our financial lives, in our spiritual lives, in our marriages, just hit a rock. What God has promised to you in your heart, in His word about your relationship, when it hits a setback, then a memory can take place. It occurs when expectations are dashed and outcomes do not become as expected. It occurs when hope is disappointed, when your hope is deferred. The Bible says that it makes your belly and it makes your heart sick. That's in the book of Proverbs. Now, a sick belly or a sick heart, when it is not injected immediately with the fresh word of God, starts to grumble. The heart or the belly starts to grumble and starts to vomit. It starts to throw up bitter words. It starts to throw up complaints, bitter words, poisonous, unhealthy words, very hurting words. People murmur, you must understand, because they feel bitter inside. They feel sick inside. They feel cheated inside. They feel maltreated. And when the sickness comes to the heart because of disappointment, then the heart begins to throw up these confusing, unhealthy, critical words. Now, leaders can murmur against members. If you take a group example, a leader, whether it's political leader, maybe family leader like the parent, or a church leader like the pastor or a preacher, can murmur against the members. It can be bitter. A leader can be bitter against the members. Can be bitter against singers, can be bitter against elders, can be bitter against the youth, you know, can feel disappointed, can feel expectations destroyed. And a leader can become bitter inside, can have a sick stomach, can have his hope and his expectations deferred. That gives birth to the sick spirit. All right. On the other hand, a member can also be bitter, as in the case of Israel. A member can be bitter against a leader, against Moses and Aaron. Indeed, against the Lord, we can be bitter. Also, members can be disappointed and throw bitter words, a member against fellow members. Now, this thing can take place anywhere. You'll be amazed that this scripture is written to Christians. So we are not exempted. It's not as if, well, this one, it can take place in a workplace where people are grumbling and murmuring and complaining against their bosses or their employers. But it can also happen in the church, where people in rebellion inside just spew out these big bitter words of disappointment. It can be also in our political world. As a citizen of a nation, you can be bitter against your government, you know, and grumble and complain and murmur.
The political leaders can also be bitter against their citizens or their followers, so to speak, and spew out these confusing words, critical, fault-finding words. Now, it can also happen in a family setting between a husband and a wife. The wife can grumble and murmur against the man, and a man against the woman. So you see that this fifth wilderness temptation that God wants us to master is a reality that can happen in our lives. But I want us to proceed by understanding that murmuring is actually a form of profanity. It's a dirty vomit coming out of a sick spirit, a bitter spirit.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 12 to 16, tells us about it. The pathetic thing about bitterness or murmuring is that it hides. It's like a secret complaint. The Bible calls it a root which is below the surface that can spring up. You can throw it up and it can defile many people. One person murmuring can have a ripple effect and cause confusion in a nation, in a workplace, in the church, and also in our family settings. But we must understand it the way that the Bible really describes it. Because we must not be ignorant. This way we can escape out of bitterness. Because you may not bring obscene words out of your mouth as a believer, but when you throw up bitter words from your disappointed sick spirit against a leader, or a leader against a member, you are actually throwing out profanity. And that is how the law sees it. This results in the people not enjoying the grace of God. Because we can fail from receiving the grace of God because of a murmuring spirit. God no more becomes gracious. What He has to do is to overthrow them. The Bible says that neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. God just allows the destroyer to have a field day because no more grace due to bitterness. Anything which is inside looks disgusting. But when it comes out, it's even much more disgusting, detestable. Something that nobody will want to watch is a vomit. But it came from your inside. It's you. It's from your inside. But afterwards, it looks detestable to you yourself. It smells. It pollutes. Slimy. It's like a snake. I want you to get revelation. Do you understand? That's why I'm using such words. So that this word is going to provide you a way of escape. Whenever the devil tempts you to murmur in the church and murmur against one another, against your husband or your wife, you fail of the grace of God. That is why you see grace with tears as Esau. The Bible calls him a fornicator and a profane person. Why? Because for lack of a little thing like food, which was not going to kill him, Esau got this bitterness inside of him. He just sold his birthright. Nothing that he had already was important, because he has not had the promise, he has not had the muscle, he has not had anything to eat. And sometimes that is how bitterness comes, as in the case of Israel. God is with them. They are joy in a condition. None of them is sick. He is provided. I mean, a miracle. I mean, pillar of fire by night. They see the presence of God, but they don't have food like Esau. Because of that, they start to throw out bitter words against their leader. And the Bible makes us to understand that when the devil traps you, or he hems you in with bitterness, it is going to prevent you from assessing the blessing. Assessing the blessing. You may do it with tears, but it will elude you. Murmuring is complaining and grumbling, fault finding, finger pointing. That is what murmuring is. All right? Murmuring is an unprofitable way of expression, frustration, disappointment, and failure. It is unprofitable. Pastor, why do you say that it's unprofitable? Because when Israel murmured, God gave them manna. They murmured again, God gave them quails, protein. They murmured again, God gave them water from a rock two times. So why do you say that murmuring or complaining or grumbling is an unproductive way or an unprofitable way of expressing disappointment? It is because if you murmur, if you grumble and you complain, point fingers and find faults, you may elicit some results. For example, your leaders can decide to do the thing that you want. As in the case of Israel, God can decide to do the thing that you want. You want protein? You murmur against me. I do not care that I want to kill you with hunger and with carbohydrate or something. All right. I'm going to give you protein. But anything, any result, whether against a political leader, against a spiritual leader, against a domestic leader like your parent, anything you get out of complaint, you will not have rest with it. You will not have rest with it. That thing, you will get it, but you will never, never be satisfied with it. It will breed death and not life, because it was elicited out of bitterness. That result will become bitter for you, because bitterness can only give birth to bitter something. So you can get a husband out of a bad attitude towards God, towards your leader. You can get a blessing. You can get whatever you are desiring, but it will be a bitter husband. I don't think you want a bitter husband. I don't think you want a bitter wife. I don't think you want a business that does not give you rest. Because Israel obtained by their murmuring the works of God, the miracles of God, the provision of God, but God banished them from rest. Says, I will give it to you, but you will never enter into rest with this kind of a blessing. You can have the business, but you will never have rest with it. You can have the visa
and trouble, but you will never have rest with it. You can have even the church or the ministry or the miracle. You can live, believers. We can live, men of God, doing the work of the Lord, but heavy laden. This is the kind of blessing or the ministry that kills. The work of God kills. It does not give life. It is God that gives life. The letter will always kill. What you see with your eyes, what I've done for God, that people can point to, the letter, what you see, always kills. But the Spirit will give life. Hallelujah. Jesus in John chapter 6. Wow. Jesus in John chapter 6. If you read verse 31 to 35, 41, 43, 46 to 51, he's saying about the same thing as Hebrews 3, 9 to 11 says. He's saying the same thing. That your fathers, what they ate, it gave them death. Because they obtained it out of memory. Say, I'm the true bread. And he told the Jews, don't murmur. In those verses, time will fail us to go into it. I want us to understand. But he told them that don't murmur in your heart. He told to the Jews, he told to the disciples, he said, I'm the true bread. Come and eat of me. And the disciples also were going back. He says, will you also go away? After all of those people left him. He just says, we can't go. You have the words that takes away bitterness from us and make a way of escape. Hallelujah. But you need to understand that the journey of life is punctuated by disappointment. You are a child if you think that what idealistic picture that you have is what you are going to get. Whether it's of a church, is of people's support, is about of what you are looking for from God, you are a child. If you think that you will not have many punctuations, many interruptions. And we hate interruptions. Interruptions, it disturbs our progress. It makes us sit back and rethink. We don't want to think. We want to do more. But ladies and gentlemen, God will often punctuate us with disappointment so that you will not complete a sentence. You will pause with a comma and with a semicolon and you will rethink and re-examine your direction. So the journey of life is punctuated by shocks and the unexpected. It comes without invitation. And whether you are prepared for it or not, it doesn't matter. It will come. Expect it to come. And this one is, no matter how God is with you, no matter how God is with you, you need to understand that we are living in an unideal world. It's a fallen world. And it is unwise to have idealistic expectations in an unideal environment. This earth is not heaven. You can have idealistic expectations from your spouses, from your relationship, from your church, from your life, from your business, from your nation, even from your world. But never forget that such heightened expectations only become the breeding ground for disappointment that can turn into memories. The earth will never be heaven. Your leaders and your members and your fellows will never, never be perfect and ideal in this age. No matter how God was with Israel, they hit the rock. God was guiding them, but you see that they will go and hit a Red Sea. They'll go and hit a place that they don't know where to go next. If you read Numbers 13, you'll get to know that they needed some scouts and some eyes to guide them. Whilst God is with them, God can be with you, but still your life is going to be punctuated by this appointment. Moreover, ladies and gentlemen, an imperfect person cannot draw out perfection from an imperfect environment. It's not possible. You yourself must know that the people as a social commentator, I am criticizing with bitter words and all that. You yourself, you go to your family and see the way you are leading your family, that small place. You examine the way you lead yourself, that you lead your own self astray. Sometimes you take a decision that you regret. And so you must know that because you yourself, you are not perfect, you cannot elicit perfection from your pastor. You cannot elicit from your political leader, nor from your husband. Anytime you are pointing a finger and say that it is my husband's fault, or it is my wife's fault, it is her neglect and lack of maybe due diligence that is resulting in all this thing, please remember that it is happening with her because you yourself, you are like that. The three fingers are pointing at you. Hallelujah. You must not forget, ladies and gentlemen, that we only attract what we are. We attract not what we pray for. Write it down. It will change your life. It will help you. You don't attract what you pray for. You don't attract even what God has promised. You attract what you are, not what you desire. You can crave for it, but if you are not it, you cannot have it. If you are full of weaknesses and you have issues, you cannot draw or elicit perfection in leadership. It's important for us to understand these things, that we attract not what we are promised, but what we are. So a few things about memory, 7 things really. Help me, we will end it anyway. 7 things about memory. Number 1, memory is a manifestation of a critical spirit. It's a spirit that is averse to happiness.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at Number 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.